This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. Okay, generally, I do not say included date or anything like that. However, today's New Year, so Happy New Year to all of you. And today we're in for a treat. You know, who listening has not seen or read an astrological forecast? I would say even the most skeptical people have looked at a few, whether they believe in the practice or not. I know I have, and some of them are pretty darn accurate. Well, my guest today, Deborah Silverman, has been in the astrological realm as well as many others, I'm sure, for 37 years. She has been incorporating psychology and esoteric astrology to empower people's lives in her practices. And today, Deborah's going to share a little insight on how we can make the year ahead a little brighter. We're going to talk about her book, The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. And we're going to take a minute to talk about a new community that she is developing called the Star Community. So welcome to Soulful Living, Deborah.
Thank you. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year. Always a treat to see if we can get a little insight into what's happening. But before we do that, let's give the listeners a little bit of background on how you got into astrology and how astrology and psychology work together.
Well, I've been doing it. It's actually 40 years. That little bio is a little dated. So I've been doing it forever. It's been four decades. I can't even believe that. And it started off with a fascination, just like kids have. Those newspaper, by the way, columns aren't accurate, and they're just kind of funny. I find them very funny because you can't generalize for a sign. But I did read the columns, and I did read about astrology, and I figured out everybody in my family what the signs were, and I would just constantly be interested. And then by the time I met my first proper astrologer, she looked at my chart and went, uh-oh, you are going to be a very successful astrologer. What city are you going to live in? That was so cute. I was like 20 years old. I was like, what? So I became an astrologer at a very young age and found myself completely obsessed with it as a skeptic. Like this doesn't really make any sense. Why do the planets affect us, and how does it work? And I never got to the answers. And then I went on to graduate school in clinical psychology and got a master's. And that really complemented not so much understanding the abstract kind of woo-woo part, but the personality assessment tool and how to really help people fall in love with who they are. Because we all have these quirky personalities and you can't get rid of them. They just get worse as you get older or better, depending on your angle. But they definitely have this funny quality of being able to describe parts of your personality that you wish would go away or that you can't figure out. And then once there's an understanding or an acceptance that it's brought to you by a spiritual intelligence or something higher, it makes for the voice of compassion. That's what my book is all about. How do you get compassionate about those funny personality traits that you have or your husband has or your kid has that you can't figure out? And then once there's compassion or there's understanding, it changes the whole conversation. And that's essentially what my life's work is helping people fall in love with themselves. And then being understanding that we're all doing the best we can, and there's these funny little personalities, and they won't go away.
Well, and I absolutely love that word, compassion. I think that when we're growing up, we have maybe a religious definition of what we think compassion is. And depending on how we grew up, we may not even think to give that to ourselves. And I think it's such an important word to take into 2018. And another thing I'd like to add, you talked about astrology and, the planets and how they align and blah, blah, blah. And in my reality, I always think, and I by any means am not an astrologist. Okay. But I always kind of think to myself, how could it not be? Because I'm made up of the same stuff that they are, the sun, the moon, and the stars, I'm made up of that. So how can it not affect my reality?
That's a good angle. The other way to talk about it is the moon affects the waters on Earth, and we are primarily water, and they can describe by the Farmer's Almanac without a question where the tides are going to go up and down depending on the movement of the moon. So if we're mostly water and stardust, which is now factual, then yes, you're right. It's true in theory. It's just when, as an astrologer of all these years, when you sit down and actually think about it, like, how could it be that Pluto, which we can't see with the human eye, is so powerfully influencing, and it is. Pluto is one of the most powerful influences. But it doesn't matter. It's true even about love. You can't see it. You can't figure it out. There's no logic to it, and it's the most powerful force on Earth. So I think this is the time in, I call it her story instead of his story. It's the first time in history that we've opened up our right brain and said, okay, we don't have to figure it out to know it's true. We know electricity works, but we can't figure it out. We know that love is real and we can't see it. And we know that astrology, there's some influence coming from the stars, even though we can't figure it out. It's a little annoying to a left brain person, but if you have the ability to have faith and you believe in magic, then all of this conversation is so important.
Well, and so why does it get such a bad rap?
Because religion wanted control, and it was the advice of the astrologer that could up-trump, or I love using that word, that could usurp, it could usurp the leader at the time, a government, not a government leader, but government and religion. They both try to keep the collective in place. So if you have an individual thought and you become aware of your own personality and you become committed to your own voice, the religious order or the government or the attempt by society to control you is absolutely diminished. So in the old story, the Piscean Age, which just changed in the 60s, for 2,100 years, we were followers. Our whole society was built to be the same. And so religion gave us rules, like here's how you do the right thing. And then in came the Aquarian Age, and it brought back astrology, which was apparently the oldest science on Earth. Astrology has been written up in Egypt. It's on the hieroglyphic symbols are on the walls and the pyramids. There's no question that astrology was brought to us by Egypt way back when, but it got diminished once the government and the church decided to tell us what to do. And so what I love about astrology is it promotes individuality. It promotes freedom. It gives the permission to say, you know what, be yourself. Everyone else is taken. Just go ahead and do you, and don't care what people think. It's a radical, it's such an incredibly liberating point of view that you have a chart that's unique to you, that no one has the right to tell you who to be or what to be. Isn't that fun? I feel like I'm the teacher that's giving out permission slips, like in a candy store, going, listen, you guys, you can have anything you want here as long as it's got your name on it.
It's amazing. And every time I watch those, you know, like the ancient alien shows, and they show the hieroglyphics on the wall, and or you'll see, you know, Cleopatra and Isis using astrology and the stars and oracles. I think, see, it was going on back then. And you're telling us there's no evidence to support it.
Well, they don't say there's no evidence, because there's lots and lots of hard evidence for astrology. They're just not giving us any permission to believe in woo-woo. You know, the society has gotten us totally believing. Not anymore. People listening to the show, and it's now, the pendulum has swung the other way. It's now our turn to open up our minds and believe in magic, where before we were left with a linear left brain system that really didn't let us have any other point of view. It's done. So it's so exciting that we're alive right now. It's so exciting you're doing this radio show, that people can finally step up, stand out, and say, listen, I have my own point of view, and I really don't need to have religion or the system or the government or somebody tell me what's true. And that freedom and that power, that's what's going on with women right now. Like, there's no more need for secrets. We're going to come out wherever we are and tell the truth. And then watch
Absolutely.
What happens. It's such an exciting moment in time.
Well, and so many people are coming out. My mom is 86 years old, and we were having a conversation the other day about with the women that are coming out in such masses, you know, and she looked at me with a tear in her eye, and she said, because we feel safe and that there's, you know, support in numbers. And it's really cool. I mean, it's sad to see how much has happened and gone underneath the rug, so to speak, you know, but it's really great to see so many women stepping up, stepping into their own power. And I love that you used the word permission, because so often we are not given permission. We don't even like compassion. We don't give that to ourselves. And it's really cool to have somebody say, hey, you have permission. Just do it.
It's like we're maturing right in front of our own eyes, like we're as a collective, and it's really true. Our species, the human, has just turned another corner, just like when we found fire, and just like when we found electricity, and just like when we found telephones, and then we found computers. Like, it's incredible the level of evolution, and we are at such an exponential curve right now. So what's cool is, in the name of modern civilization, we're returning back to the basics, which is lie down, look up, put your attention on the stars, on the moon, on the retrogrades, and start respecting that there might be a cosmic influence that we've never considered as valuable. And so, it's, for me, it's like, this is the time that all the prophets long to live. That's why there's 7.5 billion people here, and why women are standing up, because it's for the first time in history, I like to call it her story, we're finally standing up and saying, I can talk. You can't tell me what to do anymore. The oppression for the less than is no, we're leveling the playing field. Men and women, poor and rich, people that can communicate by pushing a button, telling the truth, coming out wherever you are. So exciting. I mean, it's a strange, probably for your mom at 86, to look at our society and say, what's the internet and how do you get online again? And what do you do to be able to use PayPal? Like, all these new, brand new modern-day civilization has taken us to another level that could be detached and cut off, but then there's this part we're talking about where the voice of the individual is being heard and women get to stand up and people get to talk about astrology without being scared their head's going to get chopped off or they're going to be burnt at the stake. That was real. It wasn't safe to do what we're doing today, you and I on the radio.
Oh, absolutely. I could get into my family history and tell you some stories, right? I could totally get into that right now. That's for a whole nother show, though, because they were burned at the stake. I have relatives that experienced all of that. So I hear that loud and clear. And it is refreshing. It is exciting. It's a bit fearful. So how can people really embrace 2018 and the changes that are coming?
Well, the first thing that I find amazing is about 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, Jupiter, for the first time in 12 years, entered Scorpio. And Jupiter is 300 times the size of Earth. It's the biggest planet in our galaxy. And it rules loud and voicing and being expressive. And it went into the sign of Scorpio, which is sexuality. And I found it so interesting that right when Jupiter went into Scorpio, out came all these secrets. Out came all these sexual stories that had been left behind.
Interesting.
So astrologically, this lasts for the upcoming year. It will then go into Sag after, but let's just talk about 2018. Opportunity for us to expand in the honesty of our secrets and being freer, which is what our society is doing, what you're doing by having a radio show, being freer about saying, listen, one, you're not alone. So people that are feeling oppressed or they're feeling sad or they're feeling depressed, like all of those funny words that used to be secrets, we never talked about depression. Our mom and dad didn't tell people they were depressed. And now it's such an epidemic because of a million different reasons, but we can seek help. So the good news is 2018 is telling the truth about things that may not have been is comfortable to speak about, but now it's like if you've got an addiction or you've got a secret or you've got an old historical thing that, like, it happens to me all the time in my work. People say to me, I've never told anyone this in my life. And then they open up. And there's this wonderful release. So one of the themes of 2018 for all of us, particular Scorpios and Tauruses and Cancers, is those secret keepers. You are now free to find your person. It could be a counselor. It could be a coach. It could be, someone sitting on the airplane next to you. Start feeling good about spilling your beans, because when you hold that stuff in, there's a bunch of energy that gets blocked. And when energy gets blocked, we all know this, that's where physical symptoms begin, ailments of getting older. It's because there's so much backed up. So one effect of 2018 is Jupiter's entering Scorpio, so you guys feel free to start discovering what you're holding back that you haven't been able to say that's going to give you some more energy. That's number one. Number two is, for the first time in 30 years, since it would be 19, so we're in 2018, what's 30 years before that? 1968. Nope. Somebody help me. In 30 years ago, Saturn was in Capricorn. So we're having now an entrance for the next 2 years. We have to look at our government. I wonder, can you figure it out, 2017 minus 30?
That would be 87.
So similar to 1987. In 87, 88, it'd be worthwhile to look historically. I'm going to do that as homework. It is the time where we are going to look at our government in the next 2 years with Trump, regardless of what your opinion about Trump is. It's a definite opening for the next 2 years where our society has to reexamine the nature of government and what do we expect of them and what do we expect of the rules and how much constraint can there be and what do we do when we don't agree. We're going to have a very, not tumultuous, but very honest entrance into looking at the nature of government, both externally with how it affects us and even internally. The last 2 years was a fire cycle. We've been in a very hot, honest portrayal of wanting to break down the government. So we just finished that. In fact, today, we're at like the last degrees, New Year's. Right now, the last 2 weeks, there's been a shift from Saturn in Sag to Capricorn. Government's going to be examined. You're governing yourself, the commitment you have to your New Year's resolutions. Like, how sincere? We do this every year. We make a New Year resolution. They say there's more enrollments than any other time of the year. And do people actually go to the gym after they sign up and pay all that money? Good question.
So yeah, probably not.
That's the question of this upcoming year, is your relationship with discipline and your follow through and the relationship you have with the notion of government and how willing you are to step into your own government, like being the powerful being that you can be. So Jupiter's entered Scorpio, making us talk about sex and secrets. Saturn just this last week entered Capricorn, so all you Capricorns are being asked to work more, which is crazy because they work all the time, but be more disciplined. It's true for Cancers. Cancers are really going to be going through a positive movement cycle. And so this is the moment, I would say, that for the collective, that we have to all ask ourselves this year, what are we going to do about this government and about the conflict? Forget about what side you're on. Like, my big question is, why can't we just have a conversation where we find some middle land, because we're so consistently arguing without ever listening to the other person. It just drives me crazy.
Okay, so I have to interrupt here because I want to ask you this. Why can't we have that conversation? I feel personally that a big part of that has to do with compassion. And maybe this is a good time
exactly
to talk about
right.
the missing element, right?
No, you're right, because we don't know how. We don't know how to have a conversation when we're at the end of a marriage or when we're at the end of a friendship or when the shelf life, the expiry date goes off and the relationship has to end. We have no idea how to end anything with kindness. There is no compassion. The very person you love the most suddenly becomes your enemy and you're so mean. That's called no compassion. And it's because the short answer is we don't know how.
Right, exactly. We weren't taught that. So
that's why my book is so important, you guys. Go get my book.
I want to talk about. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that right now. How can your book help people incorporate more compassion into their lives? You know, what is that missing element? Is it compassion?
Well, there's two. It's so funny. I was having dinner last night, New Year's Eve, and this woman said, I keep your book at the side of my bed, and I just hold it. Like, what? It's so funny because it was the second person that told me that because the compassion, my life is probably not unlike yours, having come through a very traumatic childhood, and most of us have had tremendous dysfunction, and I say the bigger the spirit, the bigger the story, and I have a very large story. And it gave me compassion for my family. Like, how could they be that screwed up and nobody have the voice or the reason to say, let's be honest, let's talk about this, let's talk about that, let's go to therapy, zero, nothing happened. So in the name of compassion, because of your families, all of you, have some crazy cousin or uncle or dad or mom, we have compassion because we realize that nobody is mean on purpose. Like, it's not like people wake up in the morning. It became that way because whether it's this lifetime or a past lifetime, but somewhere someone got really hurt. And when you're really hurt, you strike out. And then when you really hurt somebody and strike out, you become the bad family member. And there's no compassion because we can't. It's like all we want to do is hurt the people that hurt, which is real, the perpetrators, except that it doesn't get any results. It just keeps the dynamic going.
Exactly. Absolutely.
There's no recovery.
Yeah, there's really not. Can you give us one piece of insight from the book, like just a simple example of something that you share that people can connect with and relate to help them move forward?
Sure. So let's see. The biggest example in the book, there's something called the observer. And the observer is a muscle. So the name of the book is The Missing Element, Compassion for the Human Condition. But the missing element, on one hand, you're going to take a test on page 42 and figure out what your missing element is, and then you're going to go read about it. So it is really, truly the missing element of water, air, earth, and fire. But the other missing element called compassion comes from being your observer, where you, the observer, here's a simple one. It's not easy to do, so I'm going to describe it, but you got to really practice this. So you're in the middle of a fight. Or you're just finished New Year's Eve and somebody really acted like an idiot at the party. They were drunk in there. And all you want to do is just judge them, which is a human. And you must start with the human. You can't supersede or bypass that first response. Like, what an idiot. And then, click, on comes your observer. And suddenly you go, oh, my God, I wonder what was going on with that person. Like, I wonder what made them get so out of control. And look at me, I'm judging them and I'm wanting to hurt them and I hate them and I want to exclude them. And so you turn your observer on and you start to neutralize the story as though you were in a movie. And you're looking at the scene from a distance. And you're not judging the story, you're just truly observing, like a neutral witness. If that muscle were cultivated, this is the source of compassion. Like you think about your sister that really bugged you your whole life. She always hurt your feelings, and you don't want to be around her. You don't have to. But you turn on your observer, and you go, what must it be like to be her? You start to ask the neutral questions that put you into the eyes of love or the eyes of God or the eyes of the angels. Like, they look over at us. They must think we're nuts. I mean, human beings do the weirdest things, the weirdest things.
They sure
and
do.
You have two choices. You can be in the reaction and the judgment and be able to separate from the other, and you look at your other political party and you just completely judge them and never want to talk. Or you put on your observer, you go, whoa, I am looking like a very opinionated person right now, and I have no muscle to get out of here. I can't find the neutral land. I'm just totally judging this person, and I'm being honest. And I tell people all the time, I'm judging you. And then I can't wait for my observer to kick in. Like, eventually, now I'm good at it. I go, uh-oh, that's so mean, Deborah. It's true what you're saying. You can't challenge your truth. What you can challenge is, the way I explain it is, the toast is burnt is a perception. It's just the truth. The judgment is, you idiot, you burnt the toast again. That's
a good way to look at it. I love that.
Like, there's perception. I'm sure, you know, most of us listening to a talk radio show who are really, you're perceptive, you're interested, but you just to neutralize the toast is burnt. I don't eat toast, burnt toast, and I'm so sorry. But you idiot, it's a completely different conversation.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In my house, I just like throw the toast out and start over again. I guess that's what I'll
do. And you probably giggle on the way to the, exactly.
Yeah, you know. And incorporating compassion. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we only have a few minutes left. Time goes by so fast. And I really want to get some insight for the listeners on the STAR community. So thank you so much for sharing some inspiration for them to move forward with that. And make sure you grab
Deborah's
book.
This is so easy for your new year. TheStarCommunity.com. It's a $22 a month platform where you learn every day where's the moon, where's the retrograde. It's a very simple videos and conversations. I interviewed Shailene Woodley, who's just won the Emmy, and I interviewed Sting's wife, Trudy Styler, and I've interviewed Christiane Northrup, who's the doctor that talks about women. I found very interesting people to interview. On each month, there's that sign, and we go into depth. You watch videos, you get interviews, you see a montage I created, you learn astrology very simply, month by month, and if you do a whole year program, which is, I think, like $200 or something, there's some special, then you learn all 12 signs. And by the year being over, you've learned astrology by osmosis. So it's a very simple way. The other option, of course, is I have a school that's starting in, we open the card at the end of January. If you want to really be an astrologer when you grow up, or you want to learn about your family and just take the beginner class, beginner, we have an astrology school, and all you do is go to my website and click under Learn With Me. And the website, I think, is probably on your link, but it's Deborah Silverman Astrology. Three words, DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com, D-E-B-R-A.
Yes, all of your links will be on our site, regardless of where it's at. So through the STAR community, can they take the courses online? So wherever they are in the world, they'll be able to go to the school, right? And it's not live.
So cool.
work
that? Yes, there's two angles. One is you take the course, which is a longer course. That's a six-week course, and you actually go into your own chart and study it at great length. Or you go to the STAR community, and it's just a monthly membership program where you learn the beginning so that you at least can speak astrology. Like, oh, I just figured out. Today, for example, it's the new year, and there's this big grand trine. There's this beautiful aspect in the heavens today on Earth. It's a perfect time to set goals. So you start to understand how to dance with the heavens. It's like a dance class.
I love that. Well, and I love that it's a daily inspiration. Even if you don't check it every day, every now and then you need it, and some people more often than not. So it really helps to have someplace that you can go that's going to give you insight and inspiration and reinforcement, because sometimes that's what we really need too, is that somebody's got our back, you know? They're going to inform us and tell us where we're going. Yeah.
So Happy New Year with reinforcement, because that's my life's work. Have faith. Don't give up hope. Make sure you lie down on the ground and look up every once in a while. Know that you're not alone. Spirits watching, and that's the angels and that the stars, and there it really is magic, just a thought away, but you've got to turn on your observer and get out of your drama.
Boy, that gave me goosebumps from head to toe. I really feel that. It totally resonates with me. It's funny because usually I ask people to leave me with a thought for the day, but I think that was the perfect way to say Happy New Year, and thank you so much for being here with me today. I really, really appreciate
pleasure.
It. Love the insight that you shared. Listeners, you can find all of Deborah's information here on the Soulful Living page at Empower Radio. You can also hit DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com or TheStarCommunity.com. And her Facebook, her Twitter, everything will be on there. Remember, this year is about finding
secrets.
Yep, telling secrets, finding someone to spill the beans to that you trust and love, and our government opening up for examination, including how to
Bingo,
find compassion.
You got it.
Right? Including how to find compassion for people on the other side of the fence, because it doesn't matter where you are. We all need that.
And we're all in this together, for God's sake. We may as well start learning how to get along.
Yeah, you got it. Well, thank you. Deep bow, and hopefully I'll catch you again in 2018.
All right. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.